1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and from verse 13 to verse 16. As you know, I've called this short discourse The True Hearer. But in giving a title like that to this section of Scripture, indeed, taking separate sections of these passages of Scripture, that in itself gives a wrong impression. It's all one piece. Right from the opening verse of this letter to this verse 16 in chapter 2, really we've been on one theme. The true minister, yes. And the true hearer, that yes, that's true. But what Paul is doing here is setting out for us, in a very wonderful way, he's setting out for us the whole ethos and attitude and way and system of gospel ministry. I'm trying to find the right words. This passage does deal with the hearing. In the earlier sections in this chapter, of chapter 2, I've been trying to discourse on the true preaching of the gospel, the true setting forth, proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how we confront sinners with the gospel, and how when they're converted, we nourish them in the word of God, and care for them and train them up to be mature spiritual believers. Now we go over to the other side and hear what it's like to be on the receiving end of this ministry. Paul says in verse 13, we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, you see, he's on the hearer now. But as I say, it's all of a piece, really. Paul didn't write it in jerky lumps. It was all pouring out of him. And he's moving on now, it is true, to the hearer. Well now, why is Paul so thankful? Thankful to God continually. Why does he thank God? Because he knows whatever good effect has come through his words has come because God has worked. It's not because I'm eloquent, he said. Indeed, he shunned eloquence. It's not because of my power. I use all the power I can muster by God's Spirit, but it's God's Spirit, you see. It's God. I pray to God that he will bless my word. And I thank God continually because it was effective when I came to you at Thessalonica. Why? Because you received, you welcomed the word. Your hearts were open to the word. Your minds were open. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Romans 6:17. In other words, we preached to your minds, yes, but we preached to your hearts, to your wills, to your experience, and you received it, the word of God, and you obeyed it. Do you remember how he said in the first chapter? You turn from your idols. You turn from your Judaism. Do you remember we came to the synagogue and we preached there? Do you remember how we went to Jason's house and we preached there? Maybe we went to the marketplace. Do you remember how people gathered around us? Well, how do we know this? Well, read the Acts of the Apostles chapter 17 and other passages, and it shows you how Paul did his work. He went to the synagogue, he was in Jason's house, and he ministered the gospel, he preached, he talked in conversation with people, he declared the gospel. He stood publicly to preach it, no doubt. And you received, you welcomed it, the word of God. Now, don't misunderstand what I say here. I'm no liberal. But does he mean the scriptures here? Well, the scriptures are the word of God. The scriptures don't contain the word of God, like the liberals say. The scriptures are the word of God. But Paul didn't go to Thessalonica and recite the Psalms or Exodus or Genesis or one of the minor prophets or something. He certainly didn't recite the letter to the Thessalonians or the Galatians or the Romans. These letters weren't written. When he says the word of God here, he's not simply saying scriptures. Don't misunderstand me. He did use the scriptures and he did explain the scriptures and expound the scriptures and proclaim the scriptures. But of course what he means by this is the message of the scriptures, the word of God, the fiat, the decree, the principle. Principally, of course, he means the gospel here. Above all, he means Christ, for Christ is the gospel. And you received this teaching. You received this gospel. You received Christ. You didn't just receive the technical scriptures. you received the message in the scriptures. Now, don't misunderstand me, I say again. The word of God, the scriptures, they're interchangeable. The Bible does not contain the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. But it's not just simply giving slabs of scripture that people are converted by. Yes, I believe in quoting the scripture. Of course I do. Read my books, hear my sermons. But it's the argument of that scripture. It's the thrust of that scripture. It's the application of that word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Too many preachers today lecture on doctrine, and they think that's preaching the gospel. It's not. That's laying the table. It's the meal that counts. That's only spreading the table. That's only preparing the ground. In a gardening picture, you have to dig the soil and turn it over and prepare it, make a tilth, as we call it. But it's the sowing of the seed. It's the germinating of the seed. It's the picking of the harvest. That's what you want, the fruit. And this is what Paul is speaking of here. You receive the message, the word, the gospel, Christ, the word of God, which you heard from us, and you accepted it. You knew it wasn't the word of man. We haven't made it up. You knew it came from God, because that's what it is, the word, the power of God, the message of God, the word of God. And it works. And it works in sinners, and it brings them to Christ. It's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. James 1, the word of God begets us to a new life. I believe that means it's God's fiat. Let there be light, and there is light. But it's also as the gospel is preached. Dead sinners here. It's a mystery, isn't it? That's why he thanks God. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's a bigger miracle, I was going to say, than creation. God takes dead sinners, Jews, pagans, and he brings them to trust in Christ and to repent of their sins and to turn their backs upon their Judaism and their paganism and to bring them into a living experience and walk with Jesus Christ. I thank God that he used my feeble words to bring you, poor sinners, into Jesus Christ. And what is more, we nurtured you and we fed you, as he's explained. We instructed you in the gospel. We led you into Christ further and further to make you mature. Only God could do it, but he did it. And he's making you mature. We instructed you, we reproved you, we rebuked you in the scriptures. We've been over these grounds and these things in the earlier part of the chapter. And you became imitators of God's churches in Judea, he says in verse 14. You copied the original churches. And of course, that's the pattern. There was nothing new, as it were, at Thessalonica. It was just repeating the pattern. And of course, today, in 2014, or whenever it is you hear this discourse, doesn't matter when you hear it, it must always be the same pattern, the apostolic pattern. They formed churches. A church was formed at Thessalonica, an assembly, a gathering. And your gatherings, your assembly, was the same as in Judea. And of course it was the same in this respect too. You suffered the same things of the Greeks and the Jews at Thessalonica as the converts did in Judea. What is that? Hatred. You suffered the same things of from your countrymen, your own countrymen, as those churches in Judea suffered from the Jews. You see, my friend, the gospel always brings hatred. Jesus said, I haven't come to bring peace, I've come to bring a division. Jesus said it, my friend. The gospel confronts sinners. It tells them that their Judaism and their paganism, today it will say their Islam, is wrong. They need to come to Jesus Christ, for there is no salvation anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Are you an Islamic person? You trust in Muhammad. You are deceived and deluded. Is that plain enough? I'll give you another D. If it persists, my friend, you're on the road to damnation, and you will come to it. What would the Islamic person say to that? Oh, I love that. He won't, you hate it. You might even go worse. But of course, if God works in the heart, the Islamic person will bow and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And will submit to Christ, and he will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I say he, about you, my friend. Are you one of these aggressive atheists? You believe Richard Dawkins or some of the other chaps? you're deluded and on the road to damnation. Bow to Jesus Christ now. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ now and you will be saved. Repent. Turn back to him. Cast yourself upon him for salvation and you will be saved. If you don't, you will perish. You trust in the Pope, the saints, the Virgin Mary, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower, whatever it might be. You're deluded. Christ alone. Jesus only. Christ is all. Now the natural man, I'm told in 1 Corinthians 2, thinks that's daft and stupid, foolish. I'm told in Romans 8 that he hates it. Jesus told me I've come to bring division. I don't come to bring peace. Now what are we doing today? See, this takes us back. That's why I say it's all over peace here. We've invented ways today to get rid of this division, to get rid of this aggression, to get rid of this hatred. I've just purchased a book and it came yesterday and I've opened it and read it, which tells us with this modern method how to run a church, build the numbers and get hundreds, if not thousands, well thousands, yes, in. There is a text of scripture in there. Yes, there are texts of scriptures in there, of course there are. But the real principle, the real principle behind that book is this, is worldly methods. You could give this book by just taking one or two incidentals out. You could give this book to Hollywood, a baseball team, a soccer team, a film studio, a TV studio, a corporate business, a big superstore, and they could run their business and they could attract customers on the same principles because they are worldly principles. And the whole principle is to make it easy for the customer, to make it pleasant for the customer, a happy experience for the customer. And yet Paul's experience is, and Jesus' experience is, to bring discord and a sword. He said so. Mary was told right from the beginning, a sword will pierce you. Why have we got rid of the sword? How have we got rid of it? By compromising the method, message. We haven't got the message of God anymore, the word of God. What have we got? The message and the ways of the world. Ah, we're getting thousands in, David. We're getting thousands in. Thousands of what? Eternity will tell it, my friend. But I'll make you my prediction. We shall produce thousands of carnals. I would rather produce, if I can, but I can't, but God's Spirit to produce one Christian. Carnals? No. Christians. Converts? Yes. I appeal to the churches. I appeal to those who are listening to me, if anybody is listening to me. I appeal to the seminaries. I appeal to the church boards. I appeal to individual believers. Beware when all men speak well of you. These are the principles of the gospel. Confrontation of sinners. They don't like it. Only God's Spirit can change their hatred into love for Christ. Only God's Spirit can bring their rebellion to submission. Only God's Spirit can bring them to trust in the Savior and repent. Well, the Jews here hated the early converts, and they displease God and are hostile to all men. They hate the converts. Well, they hated Christ, of course. They hated the prophets before, and they drove the churches out. They drove the believers out. This is not anti-Semitic. The Jews did it in Judea. They did it to Christ and the prophets. But the Gentiles are doing it. I'm an Englishman. The English, I tell the English now, we've had 500 or 600 years of gospel ministry. We have been favored perhaps above all nations of the earth in many ways with the gospel. But we are turning away from the gospel. We are introducing these worldly principles into the churches and into our ministry. And God may well bring us. Judging by this principle, I say he will bring us into judgment, darkness, the wrath of God. I say the same to the Americas. It may be the West will go into dark times. And it may be the gospel will go to the East and to the South and other places and leave us because we've tampered with it. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. We want men converted, not made happy. Not made to speak well of us, not to feel comfortable. We want to bring them to discomfort, to conviction of sin, to sorrow for sin and repentance and reformation. No, repentance and conversion. So that they may be saved. But the Jews rejected it. Many Gentiles rejected it. They did in the Acts of the Apostles, even in Thessalonica. They weren't all converted. They heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last, or fully. What am I saying to you, unbeliever? Do not tamper with the gospel. Do not delay. Now is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If you go on in your rebellion, who knows but the gospel will be taken from you. And damnation is on the road, I tell you. Judgment. Believer, let us have confidence in God and in his word. Let us not look to please the pagans. Let us look to rescue them by preaching the gospel, by preaching Christ to them. Look how the Lord Jesus is mentioned here. The Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, is Christ. It's the Spirit of God. It's God the Father working by his Spirit through Christ to bring men to Christ. This is what Paul is talking about. The true hearer, he's the man who hears the gospel, believes and is saved, and grows in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is all. Paul preached him for the sinner, and he preached him for the saint. He did not minimize the cost. He did not play down the rebellion and the sin in the human heart. He did not try to make it easy for the sinner to be sort of come alongside and assimilated. He confronted the sinner, and he edified the saint. And we need to recover these principles, my friend. I know of no passages of Scripture more relevant to our present circumstances. We are doing the very opposite of what Paul did. And we shall reap a terrible harvest. May God bless this short discourse. May he bless this Scripture. May he bring us back into a time when we have preachers who really do preach the Word of God in God's way, with the results that we see here. Yes, there will be hatred. Yes, there will be rebellion. But there will be true converts and true edification, and all for the glory of God, by the Spirit of God, in Jesus Christ.